is from Ruth chapter 1.
We examine it under the theme, following in the footsteps of Ruth, of Al, and of Jesus. My friends, times were tough. A famine hit Israel. Many people struggled to survive. They didn't have enough food to eat. So Naomi and her husband, Elimelech, moved to the neighboring country of Moab. They were in search of a better life, and who could blame them? Their two sons went with them, and then tragedy struck. Naomi's husband died. So there she was, living in a foreign land with foreign gods and no system of social security, food stamps, or welfare. What would she do? Fortunately, her two sons had married Moabite women, and they lovingly supported their widowed mother. After 10 years, disaster struck once again. Both of Naomi's sons died, leaving mother and wives in another precarious position. Now, none of them had any support. What would they do? Well, there was food once again in Israel. So Naomi determined that she would go back there. And she told her daughters-in-law to stay in their own country and to find husbands to support them. At first, Ruth and Orpah rejected Naomi's plan. But Naomi firmly, and I mean firmly, urged them, "No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." At that, Orpah went her way. Ruth, however, stood her ground. She loved her mother-in-law, and she loved and trusted in Yahweh, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So Ruth refused. She refused to turn back, declaring, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God." Wow. There we have it. A great example of amazing faith and devotion. It's right there in front of us. Ruth was so devoted to Naomi, and most importantly, to Yahweh, the Lord our God, that she was willing to face a life of poverty. She was willing to face a life with a lack of marriage, childlessness, and prejudice in Israel. She would not turn her back on Naomi or her Lord, even if she was to be treated as a second-class citizen in the promised land. And that's what would happen, because she was a Moabite woman. Incredible. Ruth was willing to suffer. To suffer for the sake of her mother-in-law. To suffer for the sake of her faith in the one true God. And in so doing, she sets an example to us of godly priorities. Faith and family come first. That's right. Ruth drives home for us the fact that God would have us to put our faith and our family first. Now, as we consider Ruth's tremendous example, we might wonder, is there anyone that devoted to God and to their family these days? Or have people like Ruth gone the way of the dinosaurs? Well, let me tell you about a guy I know named Al. And I apologize, I have to keep my voice moist, or you're going to get raspiness. Yes, let me tell you about a guy I know named Al. Now, Al grew up in Scottsbluff, Nebraska. I grew up in North Platte, Nebraska, which both are way out west. So you know Al's a good guy. After graduating from high school, Al and his sweetheart, Chris, were married. And Al went to work in western Nebraska as a feed salesman and as a manager for several co-ops. Had a real good job. But then the Holy Spirit nudged Al and led him to walk away, that's right, walk away from his successful career and go into the ministry. So Al and Chris packed up their kids, three of them, uprooting them from their school and from all their friends. And they moved to Seward, Nebraska, of all places, so that Al could attend Concordia College, learn Greek and Hebrew, and earn his bachelor's degree. In 1985, Al and Chris packed up their family once again and made the children move away from all their friends. And they headed off to St. Louis so Al could attend Concordia Seminary, from which he graduated in 1989. Al's first parish was Concordia in Williston, North Dakota. And then he went on to St. Paul's Lutheran in Boone, Iowa. In 1999, God placed a huge challenge in front of Pastor Al. He called him to serve as senior pastor at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Fort Dodge, Iowa. Now, this was a special call because that congregation was going through a very difficult time. Just 5 months before Pastor Al received the call to Fort Dodge, an arson fire, yes, you heard that right, an arson fire destroyed the 113-year-old church building. The church was reeling. The people of that church were grieving. And yet Pastor Al said to God, "Here am I. Send me. Use me." And he accepted that call. And he helped that congregation through a very difficult time of grieving, of planning, of reconstruction, and then growth. Both the church and the school next door to the church been saved from the fire. Flourished. You see, Al helped the congregation connect with the community of Fort Dodge. And here's how he did it. He volunteered to be the chaplain for the Fort Dodge Police Department, Fire Department, the County Sheriff's Office, and the Iowa State Patrol. God bless you. My favorite confirmation student, right here. I don't feel that bad, I just sound bad. Wow, what an example. What an example Ruth set for us of devotion and service. And so did Pastor Al. Especially when you realize that for Al, family was very broad. It didn't just mean his own family, his children and his wife. It didn't just mean his church family. It meant the entire city of Fort Dodge. You see, Al was the kind of guy that if he heard of anyone in need, he would reach out to them. If a police officer was having problems in their marriage, he would reach out to them. If someone in the community were having financial problems, he would reach out to them. It didn't matter if you were struggling with drug addiction or alcohol addiction or mental illness. Al was there to be Jesus with skin on to the broken in that community. You see, the words that Ruth said to Naomi were basically the words that Al said to the people of St. Paul's and the people of Fort Dodge. Do not urge me to leave you or return from following you, for wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Al was willing to go the extra mile. He was so devoted and faithful and so committed to serving God's people. Just like Ruth was committed to Naomi and to the Lord her God. And that brings us to October 7th. Al was getting ready to teach confirmation when a man with a criminal history and a history of mental illness came to that church. And we don't know exactly what happened, but Al went outside and talked to the man. Again, what happened next is sketchy. We know this, Pastor Al was assaulted by that man. He was found lying unconscious. 911 was called. Al was transported to the hospital where he was pronounced dead. See, Al laid down his life for Jesus. Al laid down his life for the people of St. Paul and Fort Dodge. When you and I reflect on the commitment of Ruth to Naomi, and when we reflect on the commitment of Pastor Al to his family and to his God, we're humbled, aren't we? We're humbled because you and I know that we don't quite live up to the really high bar they set. Oh, we serve God when it's convenient for us. Oh, we serve God as long as you don't ask me, God, to step outside of my comfort zone. Oh, we love others, at least
conditionally. You know, if they love us, we'll love them back. We'll be kind to them as long as they're kind back to us. Oh, I'll serve God as long as it's a simple task, but certainly not a long-term commitment, right? Yes, when we reflect on the commitment and the service and the sacrifice of Ruth and of Pastor Al, we are humble. And yet, they're not even the best example, are they? Not a chance. The best example is none other than Jesus Christ. The one who lived a perfect life for us. The one who took our sins and our shortcomings upon himself and suffered and bled and died on that cross. Now there's service. Now there's sacrifice. Yes, God calls us to follow in the footsteps of Ruth and of Pastor Al, but most importantly of Jesus Christ, the one who laid down his life. While we were yet sinners and enemies of God, Jesus died for us. Talk about unconditional love. Talk about stepping outside of your comfort zone. Jesus calls us to follow him, doesn't he? He says, pick up your cross. Take up your cross and follow me. Follow me. The one who also says to you, there's no greater love than this, that one would lay down his life for his friend. Jesus laid down his life. Al laid down his life. My friends, we often fall short. We fail to follow the incredible example of service and sacrifice set by Ruth and Pastor Al and by Jesus. But do not despair. Confess your sin. God, be merciful to me, sinner that I am. Forgive me for my conditional love. Forgive me for my willingness to only serve you when it's convenient for me. Forgive me, Jesus. And he does. Jesus says, confess your sins. And I'm faithful and just. And I'll forgive you all your sins. Cleanse you from all unrighteousness. My friends, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sins. In word and sacraments, God comes to us and forgives us, gifts us with the Holy Spirit, and powers us to live new and different lives where we put our selfishness behind us. And instead of living for self, we live for Christ. We live for our God. And we live for our neighbor. As did Ruth, as did Pastor Al. Yes, my friends, Jesus comes to us today in words, in his holy word, and says, the past is behind you. I forgive you. Today's the first day of the rest of your life. You can go back, you can go from here. And rather than only being a little dedicated, or being a little devoted, you can demonstrate the devotion and commitment and sacrifice of Ruth, of Al, of Jesus. You can can say with the hymn writer. Take my life and let it be, Lord, consecrated unto thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. May God grant it for Jesus' sake in your life and in mine. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses human comprehension, guard and protect your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, under life everlasting. Amen.